Log Talk Radio.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And the Word God gave me this morning was observe mercy and justice and wait on your God continually. Observe mercy and justice and wait on your God continually. And your God, our God, is God of hope, is a God of grace, is a God of mercy, but he is also a God that does not take mess. And whatever's done in the dark, every time he will bring into the light, but that's just how he rolls. He don't play, but one thing I say this is that he loves us without conditions. And he wants the best for his children. So I'm thankful that God woke me up this morning, clothed in my right mind, ready to go to work for him. And we will be Old Testament today. We'll be in the book of Hosea. And I believe we will start a new book also this morning. In the Old Testament, I believe we will start Joel also today. God permit and God willing. So let's get started. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning. As always, Father, asking you to increase as we decrease. Asking that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy sight. But you, Father God, are our strength and our Redeemer. And Father, we ask you to increase again as we decrease. Father, let this word come alive in our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, that we will know that it is from you, that it cannot be diminished, it cannot be changed, but it is your true word, Lord God. And you have always given, you have already given us an edit to meditate on it day and night. Lord, let this word permeate in the atmosphere that it is a word that should touch our hearts because you're speaking to today. Just as Israel was rebellious, there's so many other nations that are rebellious too. That have forgotten you, oh God. We ask you, Father, to forgive us. To forgive us our sins, oh God. As we have forgiven those that have sinned against us. We ask you, Lord God, to lead us not into temptation. But deliver us from the evil one who is permeating everything. He's permeating our governments. He's permeating our churches. He's permeating our hospitals. He's permeating our atmosphere. And we are asking you, Father God, to stomp him out and show him for the evil, sneaky snake that he is creating confusion in the world, in nations, and in places. But Lord God, you see everything. And we ask you, Lord, today to show up and show out. Those that know you, see you, and hear you, let your light shine on us, oh God, that we may have the radiance of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, God, for this word this morning. And it is truly a today word. Just like all the stuff that's going on in our world today. People of God losing their minds, falling after idols and things that are not of God. We must be careful. We must be diligent. We must watch as well as pray that we not fall for the okey-doke and the wiles of the sneaky snake. So I ask God daily, Lord, show me, give me discernment, and let your word come alive. We want God's word to come alive in our hearts and minds and spirit so that we don't forget it, so that we don't forget what thus says the Lord to each and every one of us. We want God's word. I want God's word in my heart, in my mind, and all over my spirit. Because I love him like that. And I know he loves me also. So thank you, God, again this morning for this word. And let's get started. And again, we are coming out of the book of Hosea this morning, starting in chapter 11. So please join me in chapter 11 of the book of Hosea. I will be coming out of the New King James Version. King James readers, you should be able to keep up with this word and understand it because it's extremely close to what you have. The only difference may be a them and a thou and a different word in place of, but still the meaning is the same. So let's keep it going and let's keep it moving. And the word of God says, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. That's a highlightable. Because as Jesus said, he fulfilled the word of God. Out of Egypt called my son. Remember, as we are all in this, we're in the Advent season, we know that at this time, after the Savior was born, I believe he was probably 2 years old or so, the angel of the Lord came and told his parents he got to go because Herod had still been looking for him and decided and made a decree to kill all the babies from 2 years old and down because he was looking for Jesus because he knew that this child could take his kingdom. And so he was looking for him and they went to Egypt and stayed there and came back later after he had died. But his son was still in charge, so they moved over to Galilee. And they moved over in the region of Nazareth. Got the heck out of Bethlehem. And then go back until later. Then go to Jerusalem until later. But he was called out of Egypt. And Jesus told us in his word that this was fulfilled. And then it says, and as they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed to the Baals and burn incense to carve images. We see that kind of craziness right now. I mean, broad day, folks, you know, getting into their spiritual self, yum, yum, or whatever. And the next thing you know, they're idolatry. when you worship people's things, places and things, trees, sun, moon, stars, it's idolatry. And God has already told us in his word, broke it down. Anything made by hand, a man, and you worshiping it, it's idolatry. And it goes on to tell us, I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I drew them with dental cords, with bands of love. I drew them with dental cords, with bands of love. And I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stomped and fed them. I stooped and fed them. He shall not return to the land of Egypt, but the Assyrians shall be his king, because they refuse to repent. And the sword shall slash in his cities, devour his districts, and consume them because of their own counsel. My people are bent on backsliding from me. Though they call to the Most High, none at all exalt him. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Adama? How can I set you like Zebulun? My heart churns with me, within me. My sympathy is stirred. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not a man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come with terror. They shall walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, then his son shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like a bird from Egypt, like a dove from the land of Assyria, and I will let them dwell in their houses, says the Lord. Ephraim has encircled me with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah shall walk with God, even with the Holy One who is faithful. Ephraim feeds on the wind and pursues the east wind. He daily increases lies and desolation. Also, they make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried to Egypt. This is chapter 12. We'll do life lessons after we get through the lesson today. So it will be a continuation of our scripture. And so we have just started chapter 12 of Hosea, and we'll just continue. And then we'll come back again, like I said, with life lessons, life example, life questions. And for those that are wondering, just a moment, everybody. Having some technical issues here. I'm sorry, y'all, just a minute. I'm having a technical issue, or we're going to get cut off this morning, and I'm trying to avoid it. I am so sorry, everyone. For some reason, the time was off on the show this morning, so it may cut us off like now, but we're going to continue because God has told me to, and we're going to just continue. We may not be on air, and you may not be able to call back in, so please don't hang up, and please don't go out, because it's going to say there's no show, even though we are here. And we are trying to go forth, and we will continue going forth. So those that are in are all that will be able to be in this morning. And everyone else will just have to listen after the show. For some reason, it cut me off this morning at 15 minutes, and that's my fault because I forgot to schedule the show for longer. So please forgive me this morning, but we will continue on in our blog. And so for those that were listening in, forgive the moments of silence because I was trying to correct the problem and I was not able to in the time that I had. So thank you so much for staying with me because we will continue. Unfortunately, no one else will be able to get in to the show except for, you know, those that are already here. And again, I apologize for all of this that's going on right now. So please forgive me this morning for not being able to continue with the blog as far as outside of those that were already within the bubble in the 15 minutes. And so we are in chapter 12 of the book of Hosea, and it says, "The Lord also brings a charge against Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his deeds, he will recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and in his strength he struggled with God. Yet he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor from him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us. That is the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is his memorable name. So you, by the help of your God, return. Observe mercy and justice and wait on your God continually. Observe mercy and justice and wait on your God continually." And that's God, a cunning Canaanite. Deceitful scales are in his hands. He loves to oppress. And Ephraim said, "Surely I have become rich. I have found wealth for myself in all my labors. They shall find in me no iniquity that is sin. But I am the Lord your God. Ever since the land of Egypt, I will again make you dwell in tents. As in the days of the appointed feast, I have also spoken by the prophets and have multiplied visions. I have given symbols through the witness of the prophets. Though Gilead has idols, surely they are vanity. Though they sacrifice bulls in Gilgal." Indeed, their altars shall be heaps in the furrows of the field. Jacob fled to the country of Syria. Israel served for a spouse, and for a wife he tended sheep. But a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet he was preserved. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore his Lord will leave the guilt of his bloodshed upon him and return his reproach upon him. Chapter 13 of Hosea. When Ephraim spoke trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. And when he offended through Baal worship, he died. Now that they sin more and more and have made for themselves molded images, thou shalt have no other God before me. Idols of their silver according to their skill, all of it is the work of craftsmen. They say of them, "Let the men who sacrifice kiss the calves." Therefore they shall be like the morning cloud, like the morning cloud, and like the early dew that passed away, like chaff blown off from a threshing floor, and like smoke from a chimney. Yet I am the Lord your God, ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know no God but me. And I am apologizing this morning. I am having some issues with my eyes. But God is good, and I will see these words. Hallelujah. "For there is no Savior besides me. I know you in the wilderness. I knew you in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. When they had pasture, they were filled. They were filled in their heart was exalted. Therefore they forgot me. So I will be to them like a lion, like a leopard by the road I will lurk. I will meet them like a bear deprived of her cubs. I will tear open their rib cage And there I will devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. O Israel, you are destroyed, but your help is from me. I will be your king. Where is any other that he may save you in all your cities and your judges to whom you said, give me a king and princes? I gave you a king in my anger and took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is stored up. The sorrows of a woman in childbirth shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, but he could not stay long where children are born. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes. Though he is fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come. The wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness. Then his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall plunder the treasure of every desirable prize. Samaria is held guilty, for she has rebelled against our God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child ripped open. Wow, that's sick. Chapter 14. O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, but we will offer the sacrifice of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say any more to the work of our hands. You are our God, but in you the fatherless find mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily and lengthen his roots like Lebanon. His branches shall spread. His beauty shall be like an olive tree and its fragrance like Lebanon. Those who dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall be revived like grain and grow like a vine. Their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard and observed him. I am like a green cypress tree. Your fruit is found in me. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. And we're going to go back and read the life lessons from the book of Hosea, which we have finished. And when we go back to chapter 11, this is what Dr. Stanley, and for those that are saying, well, why is she always quoting Dr. Stanley? Because the devotion that we are coming out of is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, New King James Version. So Dr. Stanley is writing the commentary in our word, and the study is coming from his Bible. And so that is why we talk Dr. Stanley. But there are times where I will go to different Bibles, information from them. I do have a Greek and Hebrew study Bible that I also use, as well as one that is chronological, and I have Amplified as well as King James. So I do go and look at different Bibles to get information from, but this particular year, we are in the New King James Version, and that's why, a Dr. Stanley Bible, and that's why when I talk about Dr. Stanley and his commentary, sometimes I agree with him, Sometimes I don't. Sometimes you agree with him. Sometimes you don't. And it's all right. Because, again, it's his interpretation of the word, and we're just going with it. Because pretty much he's very wise. And I truly believe that this Bible was divinely appointed and anointed by God for us to study. I pray, I fast before every December 31st so that I know what God wants us to go with for the next year. Because the goal of this blog and this broadcast is to read the Bible in 1 year. So you read it from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. And so every day, pretty much except for Saturday, you will get a word from the Lord. And when I read today's word, I'm reading actually today, tomorrow, and Sunday's Old Testament word. And then on Sunday, I'll read Friday, Saturday, and Sunday's New Testament word. And sometimes if I have time, I'll read Psalms and Proverbs today. But if not, I read it on Sunday or Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So you, on Friday and on Sunday, you get 3 days worth of word. So that's how this is working. And again, I thank those that were already on for staying with us as Tuck dropped off, those that were on regularly, because we have to continue. We are continuing God's word. I'm not going to diminish his word. So again, I thank those that are still with me that we are able to continue in the word this morning. And it says this in Hosea 11 and 13. I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the hand, but they did not know that I healed them. And this is what it says. God healed Ephraim over and over again, even when his people disobeyed, even when they lacked the sense to recognize his loving hand. How has God healed you? Where do you recognize his hand in your life? And that's a question. Again, thank you, Dr. Stanley. And it says, I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. God prefers to deal with his people in love and grace, not in anger and judgment. Sometimes, however, it is that very tenderness that allows us to forget how seriously God takes our relationship with him. And again, remember, God used Hosea as a visual of what was going on in Israel and Judah. They had become harlots. They were married to an almighty God, a good man of God, and yet they chose harlotry and to go to idols. And this is what Dr. Stanley says, Hosea, a longing for intimacy is the life example for the book of Hosea. It says, without questioning, God, Hosea obeyed him and took the prostitute Gomer to be his wife. Though she wandered and repeatedly slipped into unfaithfulness, Hosea obeyed the Lord and did not cast her away. The moving poetry of Hosea reveals the longing of God for uninterrupted intimacy with his people. Can you feel the words of agony in the following words? How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? My heart churns within me. My sympathy is stirred. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. Hosea 11 through 8, chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. God longs for an intimate relationship with you. He will do anything to get your love, and he did. In the most dramatic display of love for all time, he provided his son, Jesus Christ, as the means to make such fellowship possible. God is the passionate and faithful lover of your soul. Life lesson, Hosea 12, chapter 12, verse 6. By the help of your God, return, observe mercy and justice, and wait on your God continually. That was our title for today. God wants to partner with us in everything, including those times when we need to repent. He actually helps us return to him. Without his help, we could not show mercy or provide justice or even wait for him. God loves us, and he loves us unconditionally. All he wants from us is for us to love each other, for us to love our brothers and our sisters, for us to be gracious and kind. That's what God is wanting from us. And when we get to Hosea chapter 13, it says this, "You shall know no God but me, for there is no Savior besides me." Passages like these show us the truth of the Trinity. There is only one God, and he is our only Savior. Yet Scripture plainly calls Jesus our Savior. See Acts 13 and 23, Philippians 3 and 20, 2 Peter 1 and 11. Therefore, Jesus and the Father are one. See John 10 and 30. Hosea chapter 14, verse 2. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Why does God insist that we confess our sins to him? Psalms 32 and 5, 1 John 1 and 9, we just read. Why should we take words with us when we return to the Lord? Confession breaks the power that sin wields over us when it is hidden. Jesus died not only to save us from the penalty of sin, but also from its power. His grace enables us to walk in his righteous ways. What a word this morning. And as we continue, we are in a new book. Yay! Hand clap. Yay, yay, yay. God wants us to know the word. And so we go to our next Old Testament word, and we are in Joel. And in the book of Joel, the author is Joel, son of Pethuel. Little else is known about him. Date unclear, but probably just before the Babylonian invasion of Judah in 586 B.C. In 10 words or less, locust plagues pictures God's judgment on his sinful people. Locust plague pictures God's judgment on his sinful people. And the details, please. A devastating locust swarm invades the nation of Judah, but Joel indicates this natural disaster is nothing compared to the coming great and very terrible day of the Lord. In chapter 2, verse 11, it says, God plans to judge his people for sin, but they still have time to repent. Obedience will bring both physical and spiritual renewal. I will out my spirit upon all flesh, God says. In chapter 2, verse 28, when the Holy Spirit comes on Christian believers at Pentecost, the Apostle Peter quotes this passage to explain what has happened, Acts chapter 2, verse 17, and some quotables from Joel. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, Joel chapter 2, verse 32. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near. In the valley of decision, Joel chapter 3, verse 14. Unusual and unique. Unlike other prophets who condemned idolatry, injustice, and other specific sins of the Jewish people, Joel simply called for repentance without describing the sin committed. So what? Though God judges sin, he always offers a way out in our time through Jesus. God always offers a way out through Jesus. So let's get into Joel this morning. And in the book of Joel, it says this, Joel chapter 1 through chapter 3 is what we're going into, new book. It says, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your day, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children and their children another generation what the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the crawling locust has eaten. And what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten. Awake, you drunkards, and weep. The wail and wail, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine. For it has been cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up against my land, strong and without number. His teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he has the fangs of a fierce lion. He has laid waste my vine and ruined my fig tree. He has stripped it bare and thrown it away. Its branches are made white, lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth. For the husband of her youth, the grain offering and the drink offering have been cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn who minister to the Lord. The field is wasted. The land mourns, for the grain is ruined. The new wine is dried up. The oil fails. Be ashamed, you farmers. Well, you vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has perished. The vine has dried up, and the fig tree has withered. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, all the trees of the field are withered. Surely joy has withered away from the sons of men. Gird yourself and lament, you priests. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, you who minister to my God. For the grain offering and the drink offerings are withheld from the house of your God. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Is not the food cut off before our eyes, joy and gladness from the house of our God? The seed shriveled under the clods. Storehouses are in shambles. Barns are broken down, for the grain has withered. Now the animals groan, the herds of cattle are restless because they have no pasture. Even the flocks of sheep suffer punishment. O Lord, to you I cry out, for fire has devoured the open pastures and a flame has burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field also cry out to you, for the water breaks, brooks are dried up. And the fire has devoured the open pastures. Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successful generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like the swift steeds, so they run. With a noise like chariots over mountaintops, they leap. Like the noise of a flaming fire that devours the stubble, like a strong people set in battle array, before them the people wither in pain. All faces are drained of color. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation, and they do not break ranks. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. Though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut down. They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall. They climb into the houses. They enter the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens stumble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering. For the Lord your God, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O God, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Why should they say amongst the people, where is their God? Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. Oh, God. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations, but I will remove far from you the northern army and will drive them away into a barren and desolate land with its face toward the eastern sea and its back toward the western sea. His stench will come up and his foul odor will rise because he has done monstrous things. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up, and the trees bear its fruit. The fig tree and the vine yet yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. The thrashing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dwelt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my manservants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord, it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant on whom the Lord calls. Understand. This is a prophetic word that can be even to today. How many times have we seen the eclipse of the moon looking red as blood? How many young people are starting to get into ministry and to see visions and prophesy? We're starting to see it every day. God has already told us in his word what's going to happen. All we have to do is read it and study it and learn it for ourselves. Chapter 3 of the book of Joel says, "For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. They have cast lots for my people, have given a boy as a payment for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they may drink." Come on now. We see it every day. This stuff is happening now. Trafficking in children. Folks giving their kids in marriage, babies as young as 5 and 6 years old, being given to old men. Boys and girls being given as payment. Folks selling their children. Come on now. It's the truth. And we got to understand we are in some sick and disgusting times. But if you read the word of God, you understand it. We need to get our bags back. Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back on a cloud with his army. Be ready. The Lord God is coming. It says, "Indeed, what have you to do with me, O Tyre, Sidon, and all the coasts of Philistia? Will you retaliate against me? But if you retaliate against me swiftly and speedily, I will return your retaliation upon your own head, because you have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my prized possession. Also the people of Judah and the people of Jerusalem you have sold to the Greeks, that you may remove them far from their borders. Behold, I will rise them out of the place to which you have sold them and will return your retaliation upon your own head. I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabians, to the people far off, for the Lord has spoken. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full, the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake, but the Lord will be shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no aliens shall ever pass through her again. And it will come to pass in that day that the mountain shall drip with new wine, the hill shall flow with milk. And all the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water. A fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord, and the water the valley of Acacia. East Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom a desolation, the desolate wilderness, because of violence against the people of Judah. for they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall abide forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I will acquit them of the guilt of bloodshed, whom I had not acquitted. For the Lord dwells in Zion. And that is our word for this morning, and a couple of life lessons from Joel. A few, actually. The first is from chapter 2, verse 12 through 20. Brokenness, the way to blessings. This is a life example. It says, no one enjoys being broken emotionally, physically, or spiritually. It is difficult to understand how strength and blessings can result from brokenness. Even though they do, yet we seldom recognize the benefit of brokenness in the midst of our pain. The Apostle Paul faced discouragement and many intense trials, but he knew God was in control. And so he placed his hope and faith in Jesus Christ. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Paul believed that the trials of his life, hold on, y'all. I'm all up in some place I'm not supposed to be. I'm right. Never mind. And it goes on to say, let us, just like Paul fought with emotional and physical difficulty, he laced his letter, and I think I'm in, and I should be in. I am in Joel, Isaiah, Galatians. Oh, I'm not sure why Dr. Stanley is talking in Joel chapter 2 about Paul, but we'll continue. And it goes on to say, for the Christian, brokenness demands a sharp focus of the heart on Christ. So that's that. And then when we go to life lessons, it says, strong is the one who executes his words. Our omnipresent God, Lord, will use all of his power to fulfill every one of his promises. Not one of them will or can fail. That is why we can build our lives on his every word. We can stand on the word of God. We can move forward on God's word. Because God is who he is, God. Joel chapter 2, verse 13, rend your heart and not your garments. God is always after the heart, not mere outward religious expression. He wants heartfelt prayer, not impressive oratory. Matthew 6 and 7. He wants a genuine devotion, not smug declarations. Matthew 15 and 8. He wants your heart. There's so much religion going on and not a lot of love for God. God is not, he should care less about whether you are a Methodist, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Catholic. He could care less about that stuff. He does not care what denomination you are. What he does care about is what is your heart, who's in your heart. What do you love the most? Do you love him? That's all God wants. He wants our love. He wants our devotion. He wants us to know that there is only one him. There's only one God. And he, what, loves us. Joel chapter 2, verse 29, and also on my manservants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. We live in the great day when God is pouring out his spirit on all believers in Christ, filling them and empowering them to serve him in holiness and great joy. Have you asked the Lord to fill you today? And I just say, as we wrap it up this morning, fill me up, Lord. Fill me up with all of you. Thanking God for those that were able to get in this morning and stay with me as we move through the Word of God. I do apologize for those that got kicked off today because of a technical glitch on my part. But I just say again, thank you so much for joining me this morning. And those that did not make it in, you will be able to hear this blog on Blog Talk Radio. Just go to Moving Forward with Minister Bridget on Blog Talk, and you'll be able to hear this lesson. And I will make that plain again on Sunday. Please join me Sunday morning, God willing, as we go through the New Testament. We will be starting several new words as we go through. We'll look at Jude as well as starting Revelations on Sunday in the New Testament. So thank you so much, family. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and he loves you very, very much. Please, God will enjoy me on Sunday as we move forward through our New Testament word. Thank you so much. Be blessed and have a wonderful day. And as always, before we get out of here this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, and it's simply this. Faith is not believing that God can. It's knowing that God will. Have a faith-filled Friday and know that there is only one God, and he reigns over everything, and he loves you more than anything. Be blessed, family. It is a wrap.